Shalom. Shalom. Good evening. All right. And peace to you. It is so good to be back here. It's already been a year since I was last here. Actually, slightly, just maybe like 1-2 weeks after a year. All right. And when I was last here, there were fewer of you. So you have grown. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have grown.
You have grown.
And I heard from Elder Daniel that you're believing God for 200, right? Huh? Go for it, man. God will bless you with it. This auditorium will be too small for you. Oh, but by the way, you do have people online too, right? So yes. I just want to greet you, those who are online. You count to that 200 too. And bring others in, and the Lord will be just magnified in doing His work of salvation and blessing to all those 200 and beyond in the days ahead. Amen. Amen. Well, I've been... You may or may not realize it when Pastor... Elder Daniel, all right? Pastor Daniel was again. Elder Daniel texted me about taking the message today. All he told me was, say something that's related to the names of God, because, you know, I've got these 8 messages lined up for the last 8 weeks. And then, lo and behold, I got the shock of my life when I heard Chen Gan say somewhere in one of his sermons that there's going to be a guest speaker that will come and summarize this on the 22nd of July. And then last week, I heard Daniel's message, and he said, I've invited a guest speaker who will come and summarize and wrap up. I didn't realize that I was supposed to come and summarize and wrap this up for you, all right? But I was supposed to come and preach something that's related to the names of God. But because of that, I had the privilege and the joy of listening through to 8 messages on His Name Matters, HRM, and His Name Does Matter. Because, you see, whenever the Lord reveals Himself by a specific name in the Old Testament, that name says something about who God is. His character, His nature, what He expects of us, and what He wants to do for us, all right? And therefore, if we know His name, what it teaches us about Him, it will help us to relate with Him, and it will help us to live our lives according to who He is, all right? And we'll be blessed for it, and we will be able to fulfill our purposes and be a blessing to the people around us, all right? I must say, I heard through the 8 messages, I don't know whether it's because of you and Silas or whatever, but the fact that you have put up lay preachers reminds me of what John Wesley did in his early days. He preached up, he put up lay preachers, and he got a whole movement of the Methodist movement launched because of that. And, you know, Gan, Royston, Silas, who else? Joanne, yes, right? And Daniel, I'm proud of you. You preach. Thank God for the messages that God has given on you, through you, to His people. Keep it up, all right? And that means you can just have to take the freedom to go and wrestle with them more often. But actually, it was good. I'm proud of you. Keep it up, all right? So I'm supposed to come and give you a summary of these 8 names. So here it goes, all right? Firstly, Jehovah Rohi, or sometimes also called Jehovah Ra, which is Jehovah, or God, my shepherd. Right? Now, this tells us that God is our leader. Shepherd in the Old Testament actually is another symbol for king, all right? Leader. He's our leader. He leads us, He trains us, He feeds us, He disciplines us. Of course, sometimes discipline is not the most enjoyable, but nevertheless, He does that for us. And I think as Daniel rightly pointed out, it shows that He loves us. Okay, the fact that he disciplines us shows that he loves us, all right? And then he protects us, he seeks us when we are lost, all right? And I didn't even realize this until Silas brought this up. But another meaning or an extension of the meaning of rohi from the word ra is friend. So he's not just our shepherd, our king, our leader, but at the same time, he's our friend. Wow. You know, therefore, the word Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd, points us to the Lord Jesus, because ultimately it is he, the good shepherd in John 10, who came to seek and to save us who are lost. And also, he says of himself that he is our friend, John 15. And he is the friend that comes to lay down his life for us so that we can become his friends. You see in the slide that I put there, wow. Say wow. Wow. You know, one thing about names of God is that it should bring you to worship and praise and adoration of the Lord. I mean, time and again, when I begin a time of a prayer, I just name and utter the names of God, the attributes of God, and just thinking about who he is, what he's like, brings a sense of praise and adoration into my heart. And I trust that it's doing the same for you. Because just think about this. He is not only your king, your leader, he is your friend. All right? And praise God for that. Well, Genesis 22 reveals to us that God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And he told Abraham to sacrifice his only son, his beloved son, to him as a burnt offering. Well, we know from the context in Genesis 22 that it was to test him, test whether he feared God or not. And when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, God showed himself as Jehovah Jireh. He provided a ram instead of Isaac. All right. And yet, at the same time, when he was thinking about saving mankind, he again showed himself to be Jehovah Jireh by providing his own sacrifice, his son, the Lord Jesus. And we see in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, that Jesus said of himself that he's come with his body as a sacrifice in our place. He is indeed Jehovah Jireh. But I think, like Daniel rightly reminded us, if you and I are going to experience him as Jehovah Jireh, then we need to be like Abraham in availing ourselves to him, in trusting him, in obeying him. Because in so doing, you will see that God will provide for you whatever that situation of need may be. And then he is also Jehovah Rapha. And this tells us that God is our healer. By nature, he wants to heal. You look at the Old Testament, he gives promises to his people that he will heal them, that none of these diseases of Egypt will fall upon them. If they obey him, he will heal them, he will keep them in perfect health. All right? And you see that he is Jehovah Rapha, not just in his nature to heal, his promises to heal, but there are time and again in the Old Testament many instances of healing. For example, when the people of Israel rebelled against him, he commanded Moses to lift up a bronze serpent on a stick, on a pole, and whoever looks upon that snake would be healed. All right? You look at Naaman, the leprous general of Syria. He came to the God of Israel and he was healed. And you look at time and again, I mean, his servants, Elijah, Elisha, they brought mighty miracles of healing and resurrection. Our God is a God who wants to heal. And then that again points us to the Lord Jesus, because when he was on earth, he had a powerful healing ministry. And that healing ministry of Jesus, Matthew 8 tells us, is a sign that he is fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, that he bore our sins upon himself. And because of that, there is healing in the name of Jesus. And so if we ever have sicknesses, and any kind, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, we can go to the Lord Jesus because he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And I mean, I have testimonies myself of how I have experienced in my family the healing touch of the Lord. But he's not just Jehovah Rapha, he is also Jehovah Nisi, right? The Lord is my banner, and by implication is my banner of victory. And that's seen in Exodus chapter 17. And thanks to Royston, we see in that chapter or that segment that what we can learn about Jehovah Nisi is the fact that God is the one who fights the battle for us. And prayer is a battlefield which will determine whether we will be defeated or we will win. And we will win if we pray and trust the Lord. And then finally, we are not supposed to be praying or to fight all by ourselves, but along with God's people that he has provided. All right, I thought that was such a neat sermon that you preached that day. All right? Praise God for that. Well, the fact is that, again, we see this embodied in the Lord Jesus in his prayer life, but especially supremely at Gethsemane when he fought for you and for me, when he was in battle for our souls, for our salvation, and it was at Gethsemane in prayer that he won against Satan and he won our salvation. And then Jehovah Makadesh, all right, the Lord is my sanctifier. And he tells us that God, I mean, this name tells us that God is holy. And not only that, he expects us to be holy. He wants to sanctify us so that we can be holy just as he is holy. And one of his chief ways of making us holy, sometimes we may not like it that way, is to put us through trials and sufferings. Because through the fire of adversity, the dross get burned away, but the pure gold, the faith rises up, and we become sanctified. We become holy as God himself is holy. And so I think it was Pastor Joanne who rightly reminded us that our attitude towards these trials and sufferings, all right, will determine whether we will become hard inside, all right, or we will become, I can't remember the second illustration, but the one that we want most is to be like that tea bag, okay, that when hot water is poured into it, the fragrance of Christ will exude from us unto the salvation of the people around us. And Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 tells us this, that Jesus himself learned obedience and was made perfect. What is the meaning of that, made perfect? It is sanctified. How would he be made perfect? By what he suffered. So he understands when we go through suffering. And you and I, when we undergo trials and sufferings, let's go to Jesus, because he is Jehovah Makadesh, and he's going to do something good for us. And then in Gideon 6, we see Jesus, God revealing himself as Jehovah Shalom, all right? And Silas rightly reminded us that Shalom in the Old Testament is not just a matter of an absence of war or inner peace, but it is more than that. It is also harmony in relationship between us and one another, and us and God. It is also wholeness and well-being in our body and our soul, all right? And the wonderful thing is, that is what Jesus is. Jesus is Jehovah Shalom. He comes to give us peace. Peace between us and God. And he breaks down the barriers between man and man. He makes us one new creation, one new community, the family of God. And thank God for the fact that he promises to give to us his peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that the world does not know about. because He is Jehovah Shalom, and He gives us abundant life and freedom from anxiety. And then He is Jehovah Sikeno, right? The God who is my righteousness. He's the God who stands for justice. He's the God who stands for the poor and the needy. And He can't stand it when they're oppressed, all right? He will come and vindicate them because He's just. But He's not that just, you know, the furious, the angry one who is out to kind of like make life difficult and just punish every evildoer. But behind that justice is also His love. God is just and loving concurrently, all right? And Jesus shows us that Jehovah Sikeno side of Himself. He came to justify us on the cross. He came to bear our sins upon Him and in exchange give us His righteousness so that we can be Sikeno, righteous, just as He is righteous. Again, and I say, praise the Lord. Lift your hands up and say, praise the Lord. And then, of course, last week, Jehovah Shammah. And Daniel asked the question, is God everywhere present? Right? He is everywhere present. Of course, whether you feel it or sense it or not is another thing. But He is everywhere present. And this is good news as well as bad news. Good news for us who follow Him, who believe in Him, who trust in Him. But bad news for those who reject Him. All right? But let's forget about the bad news bit. Let's think about the good news, and it means that He will never leave us nor forsake us. It means that He is that ever-present help in times of trouble. And it means that He is not just present in our present. I like what Daniel said. He is also already present in our future. Jehovah Shammah. And again, this finds its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus, because He Himself is called Emmanuel. God with us. But in case you say, oh, but Jesus has gone to ascended to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. He is Jehovah Shammah so much that He, before He left, He promised that He would send us the Holy Spirit to be God with us. Right now, right here, He is with us as Jehovah Shammah. Praise God. What a wonderful blessing. And so, I hope that as I did this summary in the last, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, you would have, again, remembered what the preachers preached over the last 8 weeks and realized afresh the character and the nature of God and what He promises to do for you. And I hope and trust that that will cause you, first and foremost, to fall in love afresh with this God that we worship. And it will cause you to want to thank Him more, to worship Him more, and whatever the situation that you're faced with, be able to thank God for Him, for the situation, or at least for what He will do through that situation for your good, right? Because of who He is. But I also trust that you will notice that I have deliberately pointed to you that each of these names ultimately points to one person. Jesus. 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 And so I thought that it would be a fitting end to this series by talking about Jesus. The name is Yeshua in Hebrew. It means deliverer or savior. Okay? But instead of looking at this name, Jesus, and kind of like explaining the meaning of the name, I thought I'd like to share with us today a set of names of Jesus that makes Him who He is. Savior and deliverer, that makes Him able to do what He does to save us and to deliver us. And with that, let me link you to what I really wanted to preach today, all right? Which is Jesus, Savior, deliverer. And I want to say this to any among us here physically or those that are watching this message online. I want to say this. If today you are a parent that is feeling defeated or a failure and you're kind of like discouraged because your child, your children have gone wayward, they are unruly, difficult to control. If they are not interested in their studies, they're not even interested in their future, or perhaps they have gone away astray from the Lord Himself, you do not have to feel like you're a failure or defeated. Or at least Jesus, Savior, Deliverer, can come into that situation and give you hope. Or perhaps you are that man who's got into financial troubles. Maybe you have lost a job. Maybe you overextended yourself. And now you are faced with financial difficulties and you worry about whether you can meet your commitments or not. Well, instead of going into sleepless nights, this truth about Jesus being Savior, Deliverer, is to give you a sense of hope that you do not have to be worried and fearful, but Jesus can come and deliver you out of that situation. Or perhaps you might say that, Pastor, I just discovered, I just discovered about myself or about a loved one that we have cancer or some terminal illness, some serious illness. And to tell the truth, I've lost sleep over it. I'm fearful. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know about the future. But brothers and sisters, Jesus is Savior, Deliverer. There's something about who He is and what He can do that can speak hope and peace into your situation. And so, let's look at who this Jesus is, what He can do, as we look at a passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 6. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, He will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke of that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boots used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For, in other words, because what? Because to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Four names that the Lord Jesus is called in the Old Testament. Let's repeat these. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And can I suggest to you that these four names go together to assure the people of Judah that Messiah, in other words, a king, will come that will give them hope, that will deliver them from the precarious situation that they were faced with, that will give them shalom, peace. So before I unpack this a little more for you, all right, and I am mindful of the time, all right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will send the Holy Spirit to be among us, to be the teacher, to bring to our mind truths of God's word that we need to know, so that you will be able to comfort us, strengthen us, encourage us, and build us up. And we will be able to fulfill your plans and purposes and flow with you for whatever that you are doing in our lives. And also to become someone that will be able to encourage others and bless them with the same assurance of hope and peace. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that if there's any one of us here that is especially troubled by one of those situations I mentioned just now, or other struggles, other problems, other things that is beyond them, that is causing them to be fearful, to be anxious, to be worried, to be helpless and hopeless, Lord, I pray that this word will especially be implanted into their hearts and will become a seed of faith that will germinate and will blossom and will become an anchor in their soul that will help them to experience hope and peace in this time, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 is given to the nation of Judah. Now, they were at this time a politically and militarily weak nation, right? And spiritually and morally, they were corrupt. And I think it's typified by their king, King Ahaz, who was at this point young. I think he was only in his 20s probably. And he was inexperienced because he was young. And worse still, to top it all up, evil in the eyes of God. That means he didn't have much regard for God or who he is or what he expected of him. All right. And during this time, Syria and Samaria, which were nations north of Judah, had ganged up against Judah and looked set to invade them and basically just destroy them as a nation. But God delivered them through the Assyrians, whom he brought against Samaria and Syria. So, shoo, Judah was safe. But in case you think they really had any sense of relief, no. Because right now, with Samaria and Syria taken care of, they face an even greater, more formidable enemy, Assyria itself. And they are a terrible lot of people, wicked to the core. Okay, and note that Judah had just seen the people of Samaria deported from the land into and dispersed throughout Assyria. There are no more people. And you can just imagine how fearful and frightened they were, because, I mean, if they couldn't even handle Syria and Samaria, what hopes did they have in facing Assyria? No wonder it is said in Isaiah 8:22 that they were facing distress, darkness, and gloom. Unfortunately, instead of turning to Yahweh, Jehovah, who had delivered them from Syria and Samaria, they turned to idols. And to top it all, you had a king who himself sacrificed one of his own sons as a burnt offering to one of his idols in the hopes that they will be delivered from Assyria. But despite the fact that they were in this situation because of their own sin and rebellion against Yahweh, Yahweh decided to give them a message of hope in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 6 or 7 that I read to you just now. It is a message to tell them, to encourage them that they can, there will be an incredible turnaround of their circumstances, of their situation. That they will be, their circumstances will be turned from an impending defeat by the Assyrians to a glorious enlargement of their own territory. All right, that's why I say it's incredible turnaround. All right, and that's why instead of gloom, they will have lights. Okay, those living in gloom in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1 has seen a great light because of the victory that they will experience. That the yoke of oppression would be broken. That's in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 9. And what God was really saying through Isaiah was this, that, hey, you fear being exiled to Assyria just like Samaria. Don't worry. You will not be exiled. Okay? Not to Assyria anyway. At least not at this point in time. All right? And then we read just now that the weapons of warfare would be burned. They'll become fuel. All right, the warrior's boots, okay, will become, is destined to be burnt, okay? It will become fuel. And why? Because there's no more need for them because there's no more wars, all right? And this turnaround will happen because unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. Now, so this king that will come, this Messiah that will be coming to them, will deliver them from this situation that they are in. And they can therefore live in hope and in peace. Now, scholars wonder whether this prophecy was fulfilled in one of the kings that followed on after this. And perhaps to a limited extent, it was fulfilled in Hezekiah, all right? But can I suggest to you that it is more than just that partial fulfillment at that time? Because God, through Isaiah, had in mind a far more glorious and powerful Messiah, all right? Who is he? What is he like? Well, this verse 6 tells us that he is the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, who comes to save the world. All right? Now, how do I know that this is Jesus? All right? Because the New Testament says repeatedly that this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 was fulfilled in Jesus. So, for example, in Matthew chapter 4, when Matthew recorded that Jesus moved from Nazareth to Capernaum, he made a comment that this was in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9 verses 1 and 2, where he says that Zebulun and Naphtali has seen a great light, okay? Because they have moved to Galilee, which is in that area, all right? And then in next slide. Okay, chapter 1, verses 32 to 33, the angel talking about Jesus' birth talks about him being the son of David, that whose reign will be forever, okay? Who will sit on the throne of David, whose reign will be forever. I mean, that's basically Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, all right? And then finally, if you look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 itself, the four names of the Messiah, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's no way any human being will be able to fulfill these four names except God himself. And therefore, it has to be Jesus. All right? And so what is it about Jesus that will make him the Savior, the Deliverer? These four things. Firstly, he is the Wonderful Counselor. Secondly, he's a Mighty God. Thirdly, he's the everlasting Father. And then he's the Prince of Peace. All right? And because of all this, he is completely able to deliver us and to save us, whether from our sins or from whatever situations that overwhelm us, that leaves us fearful and anxious, that leave us not in control and wondering whether we even have hope in our situation. But let's look at these four names very quickly, all right? Firstly, he is Wonderful Counselor. He is the all-wise God. Now, the word wonderful in Hebrew means miraculous. Think about it is wonder-causing. All right, wonderful. It is wonderful in a sense. It causes wonder. All right, it causes a sense of marvel. All right, it means exceptional, extraordinary, amazing, astonishing, hard to understand and explain. Simply supernatural, and therefore it actually describes God. So when you talk about this wonderful counselor, you're actually talking about someone, a counselor who is basically God himself. All right, has the attributes of God himself. It's miraculous. It's supernatural. It's just beyond being human. All right, but this wonderful describes counselor. What's a counselor? A counselor is basically somebody who advises the king or the army and consults with them, counsels them, devises military strategies and plans to help them to win battles. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know Jesus is that wonderful counselor. All right, he has perfect knowledge, perfect understanding, and he knows the end from the beginning. He knows every of the devil's schemes. He has effective solutions for all our problems. He never makes a mistake, and his plans will never fail. And therefore, if you and I need guidance, if you and I need to know what to do, counsel for the situation that we are in, then we just have to go to Jesus, the Savior, the Deliverer, who will deliver us because he is a wonderful counselor. You can trust in him and rely upon him. Secondly, he's not only a wonderful counselor, he is what? Mighty God. He's the all-powerful God. You see, Jesus is not only the wonderful counselor who can come up with wonderful plans, wise plans, good solutions that will be able to solve your problems, but can't do anything about it. No, he is wise, and yet at the same time, he is powerful in implementing it, in seeing it through until it solves the problems that you and I are faced with. And I think I'll just pause here to share a testimony. It was just last year that I came into contact with this man, Francis Howe, who was recently in the papers, June 12th edition of the Straits Times. And he is currently a volunteer ambassador of Singapore Anti-Narcotics Association, SANA, all right? And also, CNB, which stands for Central Narcotics Bureau, and SSB, which stands for Secret Society Bureau. I didn't even know such a thing, all right? But he's an ambassador for all these organizations, all right? But, I mean, 17 years ago and before, he would not have ever seen himself in that situation, right? He was just sharing his testimony with me, bits and pieces, until I asked him for a proper testimony, and he showed me a video. But you see, he was exposed to... he came from a dysfunctional home, all right? Didn't have love, didn't have acceptance, didn't have any sense of self-worth and security. And he grew up as a gangster, okay? He was totally uninterested in studies, and he became a school dropout, all right, at Sec 1. And very soon, he was introduced to drugs, right? At 15, he was already into... heroin, okay? And Because of this, from 18 to 32 age, for that 14 years, he was in and out of prison 4 times. Okay? And the 4th time he was in prison, he fell into a depression. I think it's because, if you read this article here, his mother said, "You're better off in prison than outside." What the mother meant was, at least you're safe inside the prison. Once you come out, you're probably gone again. All right. At least now that you're in prison, you're okay. But, he got depressed because he was back in prison again. He was just thinking how useless he was as a son to the mother who loves him so much. All right. But one day, he picked up a copy of Our Daily Bread, and he read it. And he was so touched. He was in tears. And from then on, he said to Jesus, "I dedicate my life to you." Okay? And he went to buy a Bible. All right? I can't remember whether this is before or after release, but he went to get 2 Bibles, one in English, one in Chinese, because he doesn't understand either one very well. All right? So he got both. And he read and read. And then one day he read this, "Bad company corrupts good character." And so at that point, he decided, "I must leave my gang. Otherwise, no way I can have a change of life." And so when he was released from prison, he left his gang. But you can imagine how difficult that would be for him. All right? But he persisted, and he tried to cut ties with the gang. But his problem now is that he's without job, unemployed. And no job means no money, all right? So he had to pray and pray desperately that he would get a job. And finally, after 10 months, he found a job. But it was dirty work, hard labor. He was odd job fella in a shipyard, okay? But he said on hindsight that it's just as well he accepted that and didn't kind of like in pride and in his pride and arrogance say, this kind of job is not for me, all right? Because he was struggling with pride. But he just, since he prayed, he also basically submitted to whatever God provided. And that, in the end, became the preparation for him eventually, 2 years later, to own his own marine engineering company. Wow, 2 years and he can do that. I don't know how. But his attitude during that 2 years was very good. Okay, and he learned a lot from those that he was working with. All right, but meanwhile, he had cut ties with the gang. He had cut off drugs. All right, this 2 years, he had been totally drug-free. All right, and this was the beginning of his new life. And God also saw that he was lonely and hooked him up with a lady who became his wife. And since then, they've got 4 children. And what he said really touched me. "Once, when I was a young man, I recruited boys for crime. But now, I recruit foreigners to give them a livelihood." And he's got more than 100 of them in his business. All right? Now, he shared when he was sharing his testimony, "I am 17 years, not old, right? But 17 years free of drugs. I'm 17 years into my new life." And brothers, sisters, why am I sharing this with you? A man who's down in the pits, like Francis, who went into prison 4 times, couldn't cut off the drug habit, couldn't leave the gang that he was a part of. God came into his life. Mighty God came into his life. And he was delivered. And his life was transformed. His life is a testimony of the transforming power of mighty God. His life is a testimony that Jesus is mighty God and that he has mighty power to deliver you from whatever situation that you're in, to give you hope and to give you peace. His name is not just Wonderful Counselor, the All-Wise God, not just Mighty God, the All-Powerful God, but his name is also Everlasting Father, the All-Good and All-Loving God. Think with me for a moment. If you're a young child bullied in school, what will come to mind? Wish daddy was with me. Or he'll turn to that person and that bully and say, wait till I tell daddy, then you know. Right? It's natural. Fathers will protect their children from harm, from danger, from threats, from physical problems. Fathers protect their children because their children's interest is in his heart, in his mind. And God, Jesus, is not just wise, not just powerful, because if he's just wise and powerful, he may not be interested in us, but he is Everlasting Father. He protects us. He has our best interest in mind. He provides for our needs. He cares for us. As in Psalm 103 verse 13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And so he is that kind of a father to us. And he's not just any father. He is Everlasting Father. In other words, he'll never grow old. He'll never become senile. He'll never die. He'll never leave you and me to fend for ourselves as orphans. He'll always care for us. He'll always provide for us. He'll always look after our well-being. In fact, can I say he is the 24/7 Father who is always present with you. And say this with me. He's here for you. He's here with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's here for you. He's here with you. Look above and say, he's here for me. He's here with me. He's Everlasting Father. He's interested in you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to make sure that you will go through this situation that you're faced with unscathed, with your best interest in his mind. But finally, he is also the Prince of Peace, the one who will bring peace. Actually, in the context, if you look at the warring situation that Judah was facing, what this really means is he is the one that will bring peace. He's the one that will end all wars. He will bring peace. But as I reminded you from what Silas shared with us just now, peace or shalom in the Old Testament is more than just an absence of war. It is more than just an inward sense of peace. It is completeness, soundness, welfare, and peace. And it is really harmony in relationships with God and with... next slide, please. It's harmony of relationships with God and with men. It is peace, quiet, tranquility, and contentment within oneself. It is soundness and wellness of body and soul. And Jesus, the Prince of Shalom, will bring shalom in all of these forms to you and to me who invite him to reign in our lives. And so, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. John chapter 14, verse 27. And he offers to you and me peace that surpasses all understanding, even when we are facing trials and tribulations. And so, if you know Jesus, you will know peace. If you have Jesus, you will have peace. Because he's the one who will make wars cease and be exalted as God over that situation that you're faced with. Because after all, you think about it, Jesus came as God wrapped in human flesh. And he lived with us so that we can live with him. And just as he fought for you and for me on the cross, he will fight for you and for me in the battles of life. Who would have had the wisdom of Jesus to outsmart the devil into thinking that the devil had nailed him and defeated him on the cross, when in fact it was his death on the cross that nailed Satan and defeated him? Who would have had the power but Jesus to rise up on the third day and declare, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" And who but Jesus would have the goodness to send the Holy Spirit to be with us 24/7 so that he can give us shalom in whatever situation that we are faced with? And so Jesus is deliverer, his savior. Why? Because he is wonderful counselor. He's the all-wise God. He is mighty God. He's the powerful, all-powerful God. He is the everlasting Father, the all-good and all-loving God. And finally, he is the one who ends all wars. He is the Prince of Peace. He is able and he is willing to see you through that situation that you are faced with. And so, whatever you're facing right now, look to him. Pray to him. Trust in him. If you sense him leading you, teaching you to do something, trust in his wisdom. Go do it. All right? If he tells you to wait, you just wait. And wait in faith. If he wants you to go through this period, in a sense, as a form of discipline for you, then go through it. I mean, I've heard testimonies after testimony of those people who went into financial discipline. I mean, right now, I know of somebody who is going through a seven-year period of paying off through the help of the credit service bureau or whatever. 7 years of pain. When I first met him, I mean, I didn't see too much of a joy in his face, but 2 years into it now, he's smiling a lot more, and I can imagine at the end of 7 years, he will have a wonderful testimony to tell, all right? But Jesus is his wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, because he is delivering him, he is saving him, and he's going to do the same for you and for me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you're not just all wise, you're not just all powerful, but you are all good and all loving, and you want to come and give us peace and give us hope. You want to come and be our savior and deliverer so that we can do the same for the people around us. I pray, Lord, that you will take this names of yours, plant it deep into our spirit, man. Help us to catch it with faith. Help us to catch it with worship. Help us to catch it deep in our inner man so that it will help us in the moments of trials, in the moments of doubts, in the moments of struggle, and it will deliver us. Because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel, over to you.
Check 1, 2. We are, after this this week, we're embarking on this series. It will take 32 weeks. And then we'll ask Pastor Satyam to come back. And he'll just stand here and summarize. We'll start the service at 5 p.m. We'll end at 5 a.m. Royston's wife is not well, says you look very good, and she's on the YouTube. As I hear Pastor Taitong, I just felt like maybe there are a couple of things. There's only one time that Silas and I wear the same T-shirt, and it is today. I feel like we should get our spiritual mentor to pray for the two elders and really set us apart. And I want you to just come, and also, if you can find a piece of our flesh to touch your hand and lay your hand upon us, do so. There's something about wanting to reach out for a dream for God, right? This 200 thing, I'm so encouraged. Oh, John Wesley, I didn't even know that. If John Wesley can do it, not I think we can do it. How about we bring the marketplace to the marketplace and do something? I don't know, while she catch up with you, I'm fighting a lot of battles on my front. I want to also ask Pastor Taitong to pray for parenting. I don't know about you, all those who are parents today, are you doing very well as a parent? No problems? Everything okay? Children going supremely well? Or do you have problems like me, whereby I feel like, God, can you please help me? I want us to ask Pastor Taitong to pray for the two elders, and then also to pray for those who are parents. Just come forward. Ask him to pray, and I'll tell Esther to just come lead us to worship. I'm just so touched by what he said. And as we come before the Lord, mighty counselor, Prince of Peace, the all-knowing, and the one who will not desert us. But I want to just leave a thought now, and I just want to say this, even as I invite Esther to come up. And with this, I'll ask Pastor Tang to just pray for us. Even as we talk about wanting to reach out to the stars and hit 200, a figure given by God. Psalm 108 says here, and Israel also came to Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. He, God, increased his people greatly, and that's where we want to go, right? And made them stronger than their enemies. And then this is the part that was a bit funky. Psalm 105:25 says, he turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He turns their heart, meaning the hearts of the enemies. So God first makes us strong, increase our number, but he also, I wouldn't say use the word strengthen the enemies, but he allows the enemies' hearts to be hardened, to deal craftily with his servants. How do I get this? I mean, this is Exodus, right? How the Israelites went to Egypt, and then they multiply, they're looking really good, and they're increasing in numbers, and then the Egypt Pharisee was saying, my goodness, these people are going to be a trouble, man. Let us try to stifle them, like try to make life difficult for them. And what, the end of it all, God still delivered. But God allowed that confrontation for a reason. Kid you not, guys, we are in battle. I'm not saying that therefore life is difficult all the time. We can't have good food, good drinks, nice house, and good people, good money. But life is a battle, and we fight all the way. And I want to encourage us, as Christians, may we just trust in Him. He will deliver us. Isn't He? He is the Savior, the Almighty God. So I want us to just pray. I want you to just come forward if you can. Those on YouTube, if you can't see us, whatever, just bear with us. Ask Pastor Daniel, just come pray for Silas and I first. And after that, I want to pray for parents. If you are a parent, ask God to just, God, teach us how to parent our children, the next generation. I hear so many stories. I get scared. And I've been having all these interns coming in, these 18-year-olds. Wow, they think very different from me, man. Brian, I just saw another three of them coming in next year. They think so different, I don't know how to respond sometimes. But God, and my children are reaching the age soon. God, will you help me? Will you help us? Can we just all stand? Ask Pastor Taitong, just pray for us. Silas and I, just come forward. Pastor Taitong, just pray for us. And the rest of you can just come and whatever they answer.
Yeah, why don't you just come forward and lay hands on your two elders? Thank you. Lord, hear the prayer of our hearts, Lord. Lord, it is you who raise up leaders and give them to us out of your love for us. And so, Lord, we thank you for Elder Daniel and for Elder Silas. Lord, we affirm that you have prepared them from their youth for a moment like this. We thank you for them, Lord. And Father, we affirm that because of your love for us, not anything else, but because of your love for us, because of your desire to build us up, you have given these wonderful gifts to us. In them and in others that will surround them, you will give to us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, or at least the anointing to be able to do this so as to equip us, so as to lead us to be that body of yours that you want us to be, so that others will be one, so that people will be built up, so that your name will be glorified. And so, Lord, our hearts overflow with thanksgiving and joy and praise for Elder Daniel and for Elder Silas. And Lord, we ask right now, once again, that you just fill them afresh with the Holy Spirit of wisdom and of power. But Lord, we also pray that you will release upon them your anointing of love and kindness and compassion, that as they lead with wisdom and with power and might, they will do so in love and in compassion, so that together as a body of Christ, we will be able to reach out to the marketplace. And Lord, it is you who place upon their hearts to reach out for that 200. And Father, 200 is nothing to you, Lord. It's difficult for us, but it's nothing to you. And Father, I pray that through their leadership, through their seeking you for strategies, for methods, for opportunities, for platforms, you will bring these people in from the marketplace, Lord. Father, I pray that as they lead by example, we will follow. Lord, that we ourselves, through their leadership, will be so motivated, so impacted, that we too will reach out in the marketplace and bring in our colleagues, bring in our neighbors, bring in our schoolmates, bring in those that we meet in a marketplace, that they too may be blessed by knowing you through us, Lord. And so, Father, we pray right now that whatever battles that they're going through right now, as they are under attack from the enemy in different ways, oh God, you do not rejoice to see them in that situation. But Lord, you're going to turn it around. You're going to turn it around so incredibly that they will look back in the days ahead and say that, Lord, you have turned whatever the devil means for evil into good and blessing for them and their families. And so, Father, I pray that you will fulfill this redemptive promise in their hearts, in their lives, in their families, in their business. And Lord, we declare that we will pray for them. And Father, as we see that happening, we ourselves will have the faith to believe you for the same for our situations, for the battles that we are fighting. And Lord, we pray that we will see the victory because you are fighting for us. Thank you so much, Lord. And then Father, we want to pray for the parents among us. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, because you have entrusted these precious children to us, that you will also give us love, wisdom, perseverance, tenacity, and a sense of creativity to be able to raise them up, not in fear, not in worry and anxiety, but in that restedness to know, Lord, that as we love them, you are going to look after them. And Father, as we pray for them, you're going to answer beyond what we dare ask or imagine. And Lord, that even if right now that we don't see these prayers being brought into fruition, Lord, we will trust that it will come to pass in the days ahead. Because you love them even more than you love, than we love them, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, give us wisdom. Teach us ways and means, Lord. Give us time. Give us opportunities to show to our children that we love them, to show to our children how to live a life victoriously, to show to our children what it means to be a godly man, a godly woman. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, that where there is discouragement, Lord, you will help us, Lord, to put our faith in you. Lord, where there's discouragement, I pray, Lord, that there will be time and again you will cause encouragement, cause a little signs of breakthroughs to encourage us, to help us, keep us going, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you will raise up for this congregation, for this body, some champion for the children, for the youth, that will be able to help them parenting, in raising up these young lives for the glory of God. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that from this day, you will bless them. You will bless Elder Daniel. You will bless Elder Silas and their families. You will bless our parents here. You will bless every single one of us here, young and old. And Lord, it will be seen that it is a wonderful thing to trust you, to obey you, to follow you. And because of that, others will follow you too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Can we just stand? Bring service to an end. Father, thank you. Lord, what a wonderful time. Father, thank you. And return the blessings manifold to Pastor Tai Tong. Whatever he blessed, may he be blessed even as he gave today. Thank you for his hard work, for reading, for going through 8 hours of Jehovah sermons. Next time will be 32. Lord, bless him. Thank you for him. I just prayed for him just now. He'll be a grandparent soon. I don't know why I said it. Be ready. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. You are a beautiful Savior. Thank you, a deliverer. We commit our lives to you once again.
Let's worship the Lord.
Jesus, beautiful Savior, God of all majesty, risen King,
Lamb of God,
Lamb of God,
Lamb of God,
holy and righteous,
holy and righteous, a blessed Redeemer, a bright morning star.
All the heavens
shout your to worship you. How wonderful, how beautiful, name above every name, exalted high. How wonderful, how beautiful, Jesus, your name, the name above every name, Jesus.
From the top again, Jesus.
beautiful, Lord Jesus, your name.
Next week, we are having our brothers Brian and Wai Kyung just giving their lives to God. This name, what else do you want? There's nothing that can satisfy us. Not another $5 million, another bank account, another car, but the name of God. So can we just end by just giving our lives again once afresh? They are getting baptized next week, but for you, will you just come before the Lord? What an apt way, what an apt song to just end this service and this series. His name matters. So if there's somebody, I just ask you to just come before the Lord. God, I come before your name. I will give my life to you. Will you just make this prayer and I'll bring this service to an end. Father, thank you for my brother and sister and for those getting baptized next week. Lord, your name matters. You have given us your imprint into our lives. And may this name be that only name, the name above all names, that will cause me to get it right. So, Father, we thank you. We bless you. We thank you that you are mighty God, Counselor, the Prince of Peace. Father, thank you. Cause us to do the work of your kingdom. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Release your Holy Spirit into our lives so that, Lord, we will see you coming to pass. And until we meet you face to face up in the heavens above, may we soldier on, fight a good fight, so that Lord will not be found wanting. Father, we thank you, we bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. You're dismissed.